Thank you. I'm sorry. All right, so we'll say good morning. Let's begin. So we left off. We left off at a Mishnah.
I dropped it.
I'm sorry.
I might just drop it.
whatever you need to do, scream at it, yell at it. All right. Today's daf is Mem Dalet. We're picking up at the Mishnah on Mem Gimel Amud Beis, bottom of the daf. Arba Achen. It was a very interesting daf today. Arba Achen is suin Arba Noshim. Four brothers were married to four women. They both say not four sisters. It's actually an easy case. Easy case. Four brothers married to four sisters. And what happened? Excuse me, I'm sorry. Four women. Umesu. And the brothers died. Now the Gemara is going to qualify exactly, or clarify, say exactly what happened. And they died. Im ratz ha-gadol shabahem liyabe mes kulam harushus b'yadah. So both say, remember, in this case, where you have four brothers who all died, so now you have a surviving brother is permitted to go ahead and do yibum with all of the women. And I will say, the truth is, we're going to see, that's actually not a chiddush. Because remember, each brother represents a different household, and the obligation of yibum is different by each of the brothers. So therefore, again, one brother could do yibum with each and every one of the widows. He goes on, however, similarly, if one man was married to two women, umeis, and he died, in that case, if you do yibum or chalitza with one of the wives, ultimately, again, it exempts the other as well. So we'll say, again, these are principles we've already seen. Namely, that the obligation of Yibum and Chalitza does not apply to every single wife. I mean, let me say that differently. It does apply to every single widow, but all you need to do is do Yibum or Chalitza with one, and that takes care of your obligation for what we call the marital unit of your deceased brother. So Chalitza Poter Sarasa. Yibum or Chalitza with one wife will go ahead and exempt the co-wife. Mem Dalet Amud Aleph. Haisa Achas Ksheira V'Achas Psula. If one of the women was a Ksheira, one of them was a Psula. Suppose, remember, we had this terminology before. What does this mean? Take a look at Rashi. Haisa Achas Ksheira, Rashi says, L'Kehuna V'Achas Psula Kegon Sheniskarsha Me'ish Acher. So what's the case over here? The case over here is, let's say, Reuven's married to two women. One of them, we'll call her Rachel, was married to someone already. She's divorced. Rachel's divorced. The Rabbi said, remember, once you're divorced, once a woman is a grusha, that status remains, thank you, Mashi, that status remains with her all of the time, even if she's subsequently widowed. So, for example, once Rachel is divorced from her first husband, now she goes in and she marries, we'll call him Reuven, Reuven's husband number two. So the Maisa now, when Reuven dies, even though now she's a widow, she's still considered a grusha, and therefore she cannot marry a Kohen. So let's say now Reuven dies, he leaves behind two wives, Rachel and Leah. Rachel is a grusha. Leah, let's say this is Leah's first marriage. Leah's an almana. Leah's a widow. So what happens? So now the Gemara says, so one of them is Ksheira, one of them is Psula. So Rachel is not permitted to marry a Kohen. And Leah is. What's the halacha? Im haya choleitz, choleitz lipsula. If you're going to do chalitza, meaning if you're going to do chalitza anyway, then what? Then do chalitza with Rachel. Right? Why do chalitza with Rachel? Because we also remember, again, once a woman undergoes chalitza, she has the status, at least rabbinically, of a grusha, which means we would not let her marry a kohen. So therefore, again, lemaisa, if Rachel is already a grusha, so you might as, if you're doing chalitza anyway, what does it matter to you who you do chalitza with? And, you know, you like Rachel's spit more than, Leah's spit. You know what? It doesn't really matter. So you might as well go ahead and do chalitza with the woman who's already pasul lakuna, and don't go ahead and ruin the chances of Leah to marry a kohen. However, v'im haya miyabim, but if you wanted to do yibum, miyabim l'kshera. The Rebbe say, when it says miyabim l'kshera, it doesn't mean that you have to do yibum with the kshera. What does it mean? It means you could even do yibum with the kshera. Meaning that if you're going to go in and do yibum, then at that point in time, you have the right to decide ultimately, again, which woman you are going to do yibum with. So if you're going to do chalitza, you might as well do chalitza to a woman who's already not permitted to marry into the kuna. But if you're going to do yibum, of course, you have the right to choose whichever woman you're going to do yibum with. Fine. Says the Gemara begins with a very interesting question that the truth is, intuitively, I think we understood, but the Gemara feels the need to clarify it. So remember, the case over here is where you had four brothers and they all died. So the Gemara is asking, if you have a case of four brothers and they all died, so who exactly is doing Yibum? So the Gemara says, no, could it be that there are four brothers and they all died? Ela ema arba'a me'achin. There were five brothers, six brothers, seven brothers, whatever it is, it doesn't matter. And four of them died. So what the Mishnah is teaching me is, if four of them died, then Lemaisa, again, one of the surviving brothers can technically go ahead and do Yibum with each and which each of the Yibamas, which each of the Yibamas. So I might have thought that when there are multiple surviving brothers, then maybe it's one yibum per customer. Kamash malah, no, one brother could technically speaking do yibum with all four of the widows. So the Gemara says, Harishus biyado, he has the ability to do yibum with all of the widows. So the Gemara says, Vishafkile, would we really let him do this? You know, so the Gemara is asking is, I understand what you're saying is he has the halachic license to do so. Would we really let him do this? Vatanya, we learn. I will say the Gemara over here is going to dash in the pasuk. V'karulo zikne iro, v'dibro elav, v'amad v'amar lo chafatzti lekachta. So we'll say this is the pasuk by Chalitza. So the pasuk says, the elders of the city shall call him. The him is the Yavam, the surviving brother. And they will, v'dibro elav, those they speak with him. V'amad, he'll stand up. V'amar, and he will say, I do not want to take her in Yibum. So the Gemara dashes each of these pasuks, each of these words. The Karulo, they call out him Zikneiro, the elders of the city. Hein v'lo shluchin. This teaches us that Lemaisa, when they summon him for Chalitza, it is they who have to speak with him and not an agent or a messenger of the Beis Din. Elov to him, v'dibru elov. Milamid Shemasin lo eitza hogeneslo. Rabbi says it's very interesting. So the Gemara says v'dibrei lav means that when there's a yibum situation, the Beis Din tries to give the yavam advice that is fitting for him. What does that mean? Sheim hu haya yeled. Shim hayu hu yeled. V'hizakena. Let's say the yavam is very young, and the widow is much older, or for that matter, so or who yelled vizikena, or who's zakein vihiyalda, or he's much older and she's much younger. Omrim lo, we say to the yavam, malacha eitza yalda. Right, if he's an old man, what are you going to do with such a young woman? Malacha eitza zakena. If he's a young man, what are you going to do with such an older woman? Keilecha eitza shekamoscha. Better to go ahead and marry someone who is like you. Va'altasim kitata b'deisecha. And don't create animosity in your home. Meaning, I will say, you know, it's interesting, the very important yisod, that it appears that Judaism as a whole rejects the notion that opposites attract. Right? We generally tend to go with the idea that opposites repel. Right? So the idea over here, the Gemara says, is, you know, here there's a mitzvah of Yibum, but it's actually very interesting because this is the first time we've ever seen such a concept like this. This will be a later on, we're going to see in Kuf Aleph Amud Beis, he quotes the Masoros Ashas. So it's going to take us a little while to get there, but it's interesting because our understanding of Yibum until this point in time is that there's a mitzvah of Yibum, mitzvah just like anyone or anything else. It's to a certain degree irrespective of the character, nature, or standing of the two people. To which the Gemara tells us that's actually not true. When a Yibum situation comes up, Beis Din has to make sure that this is a marriage that has a shot at working. If he's very young, she's very old. He's very old, she's very young. It's not Shaykh. It's not Shaykh. And therefore, the Gemara says that Beis will actually tell the Yavam, don't do it. Better to do Chalitza in such a situation than to enter into a marriage that you know you're not going to be compatible for. He goes on. So the Gemara says, based on this, what the Gemara is saying over here, is that Lemaisa, as much as we've established that one Yavam could technically speaking do Yibam with all four widows, would we ever actually advocate for such a thing? Meaning, if the Yavam wanted to do that, it appears that we normally give the Yavam advice about what's smart, what's not smart. It doesn't seem to be very smart to marry all four of these women. To which the Gemara says, Lo tzricha de'ef sharle. No, it's okay. It's okay. So we'll say, interestingly enough, what the Gemara is bothered by over here is what issue? If you look back at Rashi, he says, Veshafkina le bitmiya, ubema yefarnes kulan. For Rashi, for the Gemara, this is a dollars and cents issue. You're going to marry four women. Wonderful. Wonderful. How are you going to support everyone? To which the Gemara answers, De'ef shirley. He's wealthy. He's wealthy. And I will say, of course, understand something. There's another piece of this, which is when he says it's wealthy, also understand that when you do Yibum, you also become the sole inheritor of the deceased husband's estate, which Lemaisa means in that case, if you were to marry all four women, you would inherit the four husbands. Plus, remember, when you don't just inherit the four husbands, you also inherit their positions vis-a-vis the father's inheritance. So if you do Yibum with four women, you could become wealthy overnight. I mean, a lot of other baggage that comes with that. But, you know, you would probably have a lot of money. So the Gemara's thing over here is that Lamaisa, look, you could have situations where Lamaisa, you would have a lot of money. And if you have a lot of money, so then the truth is he'll be able to support them. So the Gemara says, Ihachi afilu tuvanami. Well, if that's the case, why stop it for? Right? You know, so the Gemara's meaning, if your whole, what the Gemara's bothered by a little bit over here is that Lamaisa, this seems to be more than just about money. Right? Meaning, yes. Okay, so if it's all about money, then there's a very simple answer. You could marry or do Yibam with as many women as you support. Fine. But the Gemara saying over here is that that's not what the Gemara is really driving at before. And the Gemara says that we give him an eitz, we give him advice that's hoginus, or that's good for him. That seems to be really look at just also the nature, not just the finances, but the nature and quality of this relationship, to which the Gemara says, you're right, eitz a tova kamash malon. The Mishnah's teaching us a good piece of advice. What's the good piece of advice? Dalid in tfeilo. A person can marry up to four women, but don't marry anymore. Ki hechi dinimtie ona bechodesh. In order, literally, I will say, nimtie is literally arrive, in order that the ona arrive each and every month. Well, so what does this mean? That lemaisa, again, a man has certain conjugal intimate obligations towards his wife. The concern that Chazal had is, if a man is married to too many women, he is not going to satisfy the obligations that he has towards each of his wives. Therefore, again, now without getting too into this now, what the Gemara is pointing out here is that, if you look at Rashi, we'll just look at it. Rashi says, so we're going to see in Ksuvis that the nature of a man's conjugal or intimate obligation towards his wife depends on what he does for a living. Because depending on what he does for a living, that depends ultimately how often he's home, as well as the hours that he works. And all of these play into the obligation. So for example, a Talmud Chacham has an obligation, a conjugal obligation of once a week. Erev Shabbos to Erev Shabbos. Vizeo asher pirio yitim bi'ito. So we'll see this in Ksuvis. So the idea is that if a man is married up to four wives, Lamaisa, that ensures that he'll be able to maintain his own obligation. This is very interesting. So what Chazal is telling over here, and you see this very often, is that through the prism of halacha, Chazal will often go ahead and try to teach us hashkafa as well. So just, again, this is not just a dollars and cents issue, but when a man is marrying multiple women, he has to do so in such a way that he's able to maintain that conjugal intimate obligation towards each. Misha haya nasui. So remember again, the Mishnah said that if a man was married to two women and he died. So remember again, all you need to do is yibam or chalitza with one of the women. You don't have to do yibam and chalitza with both. So the Gemara says, v'niyabim l'tavayu. What's the big deal? Why don't you just go ahead and do yibam with both of the widows? I'm Rabbi Chibar Abar Miyochna Amakra, Asher Lo Yivne is base Achiv. Because the Pasuk talking about the individual who does Chalitza says he did not rebuild his brother's home. Bayis Echa Tu Bona, we inferred from there that you only rebuild one home, Ve'in Bona Shnei Batim, and you don't build two homes. So both say the fact that the singular is used of base Achiv, the home of his brother, indicates that the obligation of Yibum / Chalitza is only by one wife. Well, why don't you do, so fine, I understand if you're not going to do Yibam with two, why can't you do Chalitza with both of the women? Amar Marzucha Bartovio Amar Kra, Base Chalutz Hanal. Because the Pasuk calls, again, the process of Chalitza, calls him Base Chalutz Hanal, literally the home of the removed shoe. Bayis Echatu Cholitz, he only does Chalitza with one Bayis, Ve'in Cholitz Shnei Batim. And you don't do Chalitza with two homes. So, Rabosai, interestingly enough, the answer for both Yibam and Chalitza is that by both Yibam and Chalitza, the Torah uses a singular lotion of Bayis, home singular, and that shows us that what? Yibam is only done with one of the surviving spouses, and so too, again, Chalitza is done with only one of the surviving spouses. I v'niyabim l'chada v'nachlots l'chada. So this is an interesting idea. So why don't you say that if there are two widows, you could do yibum with one and chalitza with the other. Okay. Amikra im lo yachbots, because the pasuk says by chalitza that chalitza is only done if what? If you don't want to take her in marriage. Ha chafetz yavam. But if you want, you should do yibum. Kola ola li yibum, ola le chalitza. Kol she'in ola li yibum. Ein ola lechalitza. Well, it's very interesting. So the Gemara says, remember, we've had this concept before, which is what? That lemaisa, chalitza is only in effect when there's yibum, and yibum is only in effect when there's chalitza. So the notion of going ahead and The notion of doing chalitza, or I should say chalitza with one and yibam with the other, is if you were to go out and do whatever you do with one, that option is not open with the other. Because that option is not open with the other, therefore the second option is no longer available either, because yibam and chalitza are a package deal. Va'od, furthermore, shelo yomru bayis miktsaso banui u miktsaso chalutz. Furthermore, we don't want people saying that the home of the deceased brother, part of it is built up, and part of it ultimately, again, is chalus. So part of it is built up, and part of it is separate. It's chalitza. Slimar says, v'yomru, who cares what people say? Meaning, I don't understand what that means. That we don't want people saying that part of the home was built up, and yet part of the home is nechlatz, to which the Gemara says, I'll tell you. The truth is, they're both saying, if the Yavam were to do yibum, with wife number one, widow number one, and then do chalitza with widow number two, the truth is, it doesn't really matter to us. We'll say, why doesn't it matter to us? Why not? Because the truth is, that chalitza pretty much is meaningless. And we've seen many situations where meaningless chalitza, we're not necessarily advocating for it, but the truth is, it doesn't really matter. It doesn't have any kind of impact. I'll tell you where it does come up. Ella dilma chalitz v'hadar miyabim. The greater problem would come up, Rabbi saying what, is a case where he did chalitza with widow number one and then did yibum with widow number two. What's the problem? V'kimle below yivna. Rabbi say, remember again, once you've done chalitza, you no longer have the ability to engage in yibum. And if you go ahead and you marry let's say Yavam does chalitza with widow number one and then does yibum with widow number two, what's the status of the marriage to widow number two? Again, it seems to be that it works. It works according to most because it's not an Isra Karis, it's an Isra Lav, but it is still a prohibited marriage. Therefore, essentially says the Gemara, even though technically speaking, if he did Yibum with widow number one and then Chalitza with widow number two, it doesn't really matter to us because that Chalitza in truth is absolutely irrelevant. But the flip case is absolutely problematic, where you would have done Chalitza with widow number one and then have done Yibum with widow number two. Widow number two, that marriage is an illegal marriage. And as such, says the Gemara, we don't entertain the possibility of doing both Yibum and Chalitza. The Ima. So maybe we should say the following. Maybe I would say the following. So we'll say now, so here's what's come out so far. What's come out is that Lemaisa, again, you only do Yibum or chalitza with one of the surviving spouses. And that yibam or chalitza that is done with one of the surviving spouses does what? Takes care of the status of the other as well. That's what we've established. And that's based on the fact that the Torah uses a singular lashon of bayis by both yibam and chalitza. So now the Gemara actually advances a very interesting and dramatic suggestion. Why don't you say ve'ima ki ikachado tiskayim esas yibam? Why don't you say, therefore, that maybe since the Torah uses a singular lashon, maybe the mitzvah of yibum only applies when there is one surviving spouse. But if there is more than one surviving spouse, maybe the mitzvah of yibum just simply does not apply. If that's the case, says the Gemara, imkein, saras ervad asrach monalamali. So I'll say, remember again, the Gemara says, are you kidding me? We spent so much time speaking all about the idea that if a brother dies and he leaves behind two wives, and one of the wives is what? One of the wives is an erva to the yavam, to the surviving brother, that she exempts the co-wife from yibum or chalitza. If you're telling me now that yibum or chalitza does not apply in a case where there are two wives, so then why would the Torah have to aser the case of the tsaras erva? To which the Gemara says, because I would say, Lamali hashta beis ba'alma amrit lav b'nei chalitzi yibim ninhu, because if you're going to say this, if you're going to tell me that normally two wives are not subject to yibim and chalitza, then saras erva mi boy, then would I need to even discuss the case of the co-wife of an erva? Alamalo. It's trich sagdai tchamina. No, I'll tell you why. I'll tell you why there might be an issue by tsaras erva. I need the exclusion of tsaras erva for another reason, because I might have thought, sagdai tchamina, erva avroi kaimo. Because I would have thought in the case like this, in the case of Tsaras Erva, I would have thought that if one of the women is in Erva, maybe what? She is totally outside of the framework of Yibam. Right? If one of the women is an Erva to the Yavam, so she's totally on the outside, which means in essence, how many wives are there actually that are fit for Yibam and Chalitza? One. And I might have thought that would actually be considered like a case of one spouse. Kamashul in the Torah to teach you that no, when there is a tsaras erva, the erva exempts her tsara from chalitza. I vitisya bein tsarasa. I'm sorry, I have to read that again. Itzrich sa'adait chamina, I might have thought, Evra avroi kaima, the erva's on the outside of the Yibam framework, v'tisyabim sarasa, and do Yibam with the tzara, kamash molon di isura, ele yivim, kamash molon di isura. Therefore, again, the Torah teaches us that the tzara of an erva is, in fact, exempt from Yibam. Ela yivim, so how do we know that lemaisa, again, if a man leaves behind more than one wife, that even multiple wives are subject to the Yibam Chalitza obligation? Ela yivimto yivimto riba. Rather, since the Torah goes ahead and says the word yivimto multiple times throughout the pasuk, indicates to us what? That lemaisa there could be more than one yivama. So we'll say bottom line from all of this is that halacha lemaisa, the obligation of Yibam Chalitza does apply even when there is more than one widow, point number one. Point number two, however, is the obligation of Yibum or Chalitza, as much as that obligation is from the Yavam to all of the widows, the Maisa obligation is satisfied through his interaction with one of the widows. Haisa achas ksheira. So, I remember again, the Maisa, what did the Mishnah say? That if Reuven left behind two women, Rachel and Leah, Rachel was already divorced before from her previous marriage, which means she's already cannot marry into the kahuna. So the Mishnah said, and Leah, this is Leah's first marriage, now she's an Amana. So remember we said, if Shimon's going to do Chalitza, Shimon's forever is going to do Chalitza, he should do Chalitza with Rachel, since she's already a Grusha. She's already a Grusha, therefore, again, by doing Chalitza with her, you don't change her status vis-a-vis the kuna, and should not do Chalitza with Rachel, who has a chance now, because she's an Amana, to go to marry a Kohen. So the Gemara says over here, we actually had this before, we'll say, I'm Rav Yosef. Rav Yosef said a very important statement, Kan Shana Rebbe. It is based on this that Rebbe taught, Lo yishpoch adam meboro v'achirim tzrichim lo. Don't spill out your well water when someone else may need it. Which Rav Yosef is another way of saying, now for Shimon, it doesn't matter to him who he does Chalitza with. What does it matter if he does Chalitza with Rachel, he does Chalitza. I understand you don't need it. I understand your thirst has been quenched. You don't need the water, but Lamaisa, someone else may. Therefore, be considerate, ultimately, again, of the other. And, of course, the other over here also includes the Yavama. Ultimately, again, so don't, even though it doesn't, what Rebbe is essentially saying is, sometimes there are situations that don't necessarily matter to us, but Lamaisa, if my decision has ramifications on the other, be courteous to the other. Says the Mishnah. Hamachzer Grushaso. Rabosa, if somebody goes ahead and remarries a woman who he divorced. Now, Rashi says, or Mishanises. Now, remember again, technically speaking, a man divorces his wife. He is permitted to remarry her as long as she has not married someone else in the interim. In this case over here, so man divorces his wife. She marries another man. She either is widowed or divorced from that second marriage. Doesn't really matter either way. And then what happens? Husband number one remarries her. That is Asr Midoraisa. That is a prohibited marriage. Asr midaraisa. Again, not subject to kares. Not subject to. We'll see. Habachzer grushaso, or for that matter, v'hanosei chalutzaso, or abosai, a man does chalitza with his sister-in-law, and then what? Now you're not allowed to marry your chalutza, and then he marries her afterwards. Or v'hanosei krovas chalutzaso, or for that matter, a man marries the relative of his chalutza, which also we spoke about in the previous Mishnah. He spoke at the previous Mishnah that Lamaisa, you're not allowed to do that. You're not allowed to marry the relatives of your chalutza. The halacha is yotzi. You have, in all these cases, you must go ahead and terminate the marriage. V'havlad mamzer. And the offspring of any of these marriages is a mamzer. Divrei Rabbi Akiva. Now, I'll say this is the famous shita of Rabbi Akiva. Rabbi Akiva holds that even marriages that are prohibited by a lav, by a prohibition, produce mamzerim, a very extreme shita of Rabbi Akiva. The Chacham say no, ein havlad mamzer. The Chachamim seemingly agree that you're not allowed to maintain such a marriage because at the end of the day, such a marriage is aser. But according to the Chachamim, such a marriage will not produce mamzerim. According to the Chacham, the only type of marriage that produces mamzerim is what? Is a marriage that is prohibited either by kares or misa. Right? A severe marriage. However, umodim, but the Chachamim agree with Rabbi Akiva, Benose krovas grushaso shavlad mamzer. So also, this is interesting that they agree with Rabbi Akiva that if somebody marries the relative of his grusha, that again and that is not only usher, but lamaisa again goes ahead and produces mamzerim. Look at Rashi. Krovas Grushaso, Digrushaso Kiishto, Vachoso Ima Chaibe Krisos Nino Lagabe. Rabbi, we will see that even once you divorce a woman, so she is still considered to be like your wife in terms of her relatives. So, for example, if you divorce a woman and then you marry her sister or you marry her mother, that would be no different than had you married those women while you were still married to your now ex-wife. We'll see where we learn that out from. And therefore, the Ma'aseh again, I will say, those are prohibitions that are Karis prohibitions, that are Misa prohibitions, and therefore any of those relationships would in fact produce Mamzerim. Says the Gemara, V'sav Rabbi Akiva, Hanose Krovas Chalutzas Avlad Mamzer. And I will say, remember, so what Rabbi Akiva said in the Mishnah essentially is that any relationship prohibited even by a lav ultimately will produce mamzerim. So the Gemara now asks, does Rabbi Akiva hold that if you marry the relative of your chalutza, that creates mamzerim? V'ha'amar Reish Lakish Kan Shana Rabbi, achos grusha midivrei Torah, achos chalutza midivrei Torah. So we just had this in our last sugya. Reish Lakish taught that if you marry the sister of the woman you divorced, that is a biblical prohibition. But if you marry the sister of your chalutza, that is only asr midraban. So we'll say, again, it appears that everybody agrees that to marry the sister of the woman with whom you did chalitza is an isr midraban. If it's an isr midraban, then what? Then how could Rabbi Akiva say that you produce mamzerim? Meaning, we'll say, even Rabbi Akiva is only going to say you produce mamzerim from Isurei Doraisa, not from Isurei Dirabanan, to which the Imar says, Tani Krovas Gerushaso. Change the Mishnah. The Mishnah doesn't mean to say krovas chalutzaso, but rather it means to say what? It means to say krovas girushaso. If you marry the relative of the woman with whom you divorced, that lemaisa is an iser da'araisa, and that's what Rabbi Akiva says that the vlad is a mamzer. Hachanai mistabra, this appears to be clear. Why, Rabbi? So listen to this. How do we know that you have to change achos chalutzaso to achos girushaso? I'll tell you how. Diktani seifa. Look at the end of the Mishnah. What was the end of the Mishnah? Umodim binose krovas girushaso. Everyone agrees that if you marry the relative of the woman you divorce, we all said this is the Chacham. Even the Chacham agreed with Rabbi Akiva, in the case of where you marry the relative of the woman whom you divorced, Shavlad Mamzer, that the child is a Mamzer. I amrit bishlama ayriba. So, and I will say, when you say that the Chachamim agree, so that only makes sense if what? If that was a case that was discussed by Rabbi Akiva. So if Rabbi Akiva was talking about achos grushaso and not achos chalutzaso, then what? Hainu diktani umodim. Then it makes sense at the end of the Mishnah that the Mishnah says, and the Chachamim agree in the case of achos grushaso with Rabbi Akiva. But if you say that is not the case that Rabbi Akiva is discussing, my umodim, then ultimately what does it mean when it says the Chacham agree? V'dilma ha'kamashmalon, maybe what we're being taught over here is diyesh mamzer mechayve krisos, meaning mainly what the Chacham are teaching me at the end of the Mishnah is that you could produce a mamzer from cases of chayve krisos. Well, if that's the case, Hakatani Lala Kaman, we learn that later on. Ezehu Mamzer, who is a Mamzer? Ko She'er Basar, Shehu Belo Yavad of Rabbi Akiva. Rabbi Akiva holds a bosai, any prohibited relationship that is prohibited even by Allah creates Mamzer. So Rabbi Shimon HaTimni says, Ko She'chayavin Alav Karis Bidei Shamayim. No, you only can produce a Mamzer if what bosai, if the relationship is Aser, literally if it's Iser Karis or Iser Misa. The Halacha Kid Varav. And I will say the halacha follows Rabbi Shimon HaTimni, and not Rabbi Akiva, namely, it is only a relationship that is punishable by death or kares that will produce mamzerim. V'dilma, kasasim lo tana kireb Shimon HaTimni. Maybe, Rabbi Osai, when at the end of the Mishnah says that the Chachamim agree in the case of Krovas Gerusha so Shavlad Mamzer, right, that if you marry the relative of your Grusha, that the child is Mamzer, maybe what the Mishnah is coming to teach me is what? That the Halacha follows Rabbi Shimon HaTimni, namely, that the only time you can produce a Mamzer is when? Is Lemaisa in the case of Iser Kares or Iser Misa. M. Cain, listeni shar chayve krisos. If that's the case, then the Mishnah should have said that the Chachamim agree that if you marry a woman who is usher to you through kares or through misa, that child of that union is a mamzer. Why? Krovas grushas olamali. Why do you only single out the case of krovas grushaso? Elashmamino ayriba. Rather, it must be that what? It must be because there's some textual symmetry. And when the Chachamim address krovas grushaso at the end, what they're in essence doing is what? Speaking to the case that Rabbi Akiva raised in the beginning, because Rabbi Akiva wasn't talking about achos chalutzaso, but rather what was he talking about? achos kerushaso. So the Gemara says, "V'dilma liolam." Excuse me, liolam lo ayriba. Or what should I say? V'dilma liolam lo ayriba. No, maybe Rabbi Kiva is not referring to that case. The idea that Tana machzir grushaso v'nosei chalutzaso ukrovas chalutzaso Tana Tani nami krovas grushaso. But maybe just the only reason we bring in krovas grushaso is because, again, since we already spoke about machzir grushaso and no se chalutzaso and the relative of the chalutza, just again for textual symmetry, he brings in the case of krovas grushaso. Ela krovas chalutzaso Rabbi Akiva havi mamzer. But it, rather, perhaps we're going to say that maybe Rabbi Akiva really does hold that if you marry the relative of your chalutza, that that really does produce mamzerus. Amra bichia bar abba amra biyochanan. Hainu tamid Rabbi Kiva. This is Rabbi Kiva's logic. The Amakra, base chalutz hanal. It could be that really Rabbi Akiva holds that marrying your chalutza is in fact what? Is in fact an isur d'oraisa. Maybe he really holds it as an isur d'oraisa, not an isur d'rabbanan. So we'll say our whole problem with Rabbi Akiva is that we assume that marrying your chalutza is an isur d'rabbanan. Maybe Rabbi Akiva holds an isur d'oraisa. How? Because the pasuk says, base chalutz hanal. It calls the chalutza his bias, his home of the removed shoe. Hakasav kro'o beiso. The Torah calls the chalutza the bias of the choletz, of the yavam. And I will say, remember, bias is a biblical term for what? Biblical term for wife, for marriage. So therefore, the fact that it calls the chalutza, the base chalutza, indicates that what? That lamaisa, there is some level of marital connection between the two of them, and therefore, again, were he to marry her, it would in fact be an iser d'oraisa. And therefore, that's why Rabbi Akiva, even marrying your chalutza, will produce mamzerim. Am Rav Yosef, Am Rav Shimon, Berebi, Hakol Modim, B'machzer Grushaso. So we'll say, so again, what comes out of, well, let's actually, so remember, what's holding over here is if I'm trying to figure out, does Rabbi Akiva really hold that a case of no se chalutzasa, marrying your chalutza, does that really produce mamzerim? So we have two possibilities. Possibility number one is that the answer to that question is no. And therefore, Rabbi Akiva does not discuss a case of marrying your chalutza. Rather, Rabbi Akiva only talks about a case of marrying your grusha. And just swap out the case of achos grushaso for achos chalutza for achos grushaso. Possibility number two is that Rabbi Akiva actually holds that marrying your chalutza is an isur d'oraisa. Rabbi Akiva holds that any case of isur d'oraisa produces mamzerim. Am Rav Yosef, Am Rav Shem, Berabi. Hakomo demamachzer grushaso. Everyone agrees that if you remarry the woman who you divorced, and now she married someone else in the interim, and now after marriage number two failed, either because of death or divorce, you remarry her. Everyone agrees. Shehol shavlat pagum lakuna. Everyone agrees, Rabbi Osai, that the child is pogum. Now, pogum, I don't know if there's what a good English word for pogum is, but essentially what we use the word is blemished, or stunted, or handicapped, right? That ultimately, again, the child, we'll call the child is stunted. The child is stunted. What's the English word that he uses? Flawed. Tainted. Oh, tainted. Okay, good. Good. Flawed, tainted, stunted, limited, whichever, or pogum, right? I'm sorry? Challenged, right? Kohanically challenged, right? Good. Hey, so we'll say, so what does this mean? Now, what does this mean if the child, now remember, everyone agrees that Lamaisa, if a man goes ahead and remarries a woman who he divorced, that child is pogum. Now, we'll say, look at Rashi, what does it mean child is pogum? Ve'im yalda bas plukul kachalar. We'll say, now, the truth is, this really manifests itself really in a girl. That if, let's say again, Reuven's married to Leah, divorces her, Leah marries someone else, right? She gets divorced from him. Now Reuven remarries her. That's an isur d'oraisa. Now they have a daughter. That daughter cannot marry a kohen. So the Gemara now says, everybody agrees with that idea. So the Gemara says, man hakol modim. What does it mean that everybody agrees? Who's everybody? To which the Gemara says, Shimon HaTimni. It's Shimon HaTimni. Da'af agav do'amr Shimon HaTimni. Ein mamzer mechai ve'ilav. And I will say, remember, who is it not? Whose opinion is not reflecting? Rabbi Akiva. Because Rabbi Akiva holds that what? Forget about pogum. Rabbi Akiva holds that l'mais, again, such a child would be a mamzer. So rather, whose opinion is this reflecting? This is Shimon HaTimni. Because Shimon HaTimni said, even though Shimon HaTimni said, Ein mamzer mechai ve'ilavin, that you can't produce a mamzer again from chai ve'ilavin. There are no mamzerim from only prohibition, from only marriages that are prohibited by a lav. Nehi de mamzer lo havi, even though the child is not a mamzer, The child is still pogum. Rabbi said this is a new classification. So pogum ultimately means the child technically is genealogically fit, meaning the child can marry anyone who he or she wants. The only limitation is on the kahuna. So the Gemara says, Mikava Chomer mi Amana. And how do we know this? Because you make a Kava Chomer from the Amana. Uma Amana the Kohen Gadol, Sheini Sura Sheva Bakol. The Rabbi said, when it comes to an Amana, so an Amana, a widow, is not permitted to marry a Kohen Gadol. The Rabbi said, now the interesting part is, Eini Sura Sheva Bakol means an Amana is permitted to any other man. Right? A regular person has no problem, even a regular Kohen, has no problem marrying an Amana. The only issue is vis-a-vis a Kohen Gadol. Yet, bina pogum. Yet, Rabbi say, if an Amana were to marry a Kohen, and that union were to produce a daughter, that daughter would not, Kohen Gadol, thank you. If an Amana were to marry a Kohen Gadol, and that union were to produce a daughter, that daughter would be pogum l'kahuna. So now you have a woman who's what we call, her isura is not shava bakol. She's not permitted to every man. She's permitted to everyone except the Kohen Gadol. Yet again, that union will produce a child who is pogum. How the Gemara says, Zu, she isura shava bakol, this one. Rabbi say, who is this one? Machsir Grushaso. They both say, no man is permitted to remarry a woman whom he divorced after she married someone else. That is what we call Isura Shabakal. Everyone has that same exact prohibition. Eino din shebna pagum. Then all the more so what? All the more so goes without saying that the child of that union will of course be pagum l'kahuna. To which the Gemara says, "Ika lemefrach," but I could ask a hashad. So we'll say, remember, all we're just trying to do is back up the assertion that we just made. So we just said before that if you remarry your divorcee after she's been married to someone else, so although we'll have machlokes Rabbi Akiva and Rabbi Shimon or Shimon Atimni about what the nature of the child is, remember Rabbi Akiva will say that the child is a mamzer, Shimon Atimni will say it's not a mamzer, but everyone will agree, everyone, i.e. even Shimon Atimni, will say that the child is pogum, and we learn that from a kav chomer of Amana to the Kohen Gadol. But the Gemara says, Ika lemifrach, you can ask a question on that kav chomer. What's the kasha? Mala Amana, Shekein hi atzmam mischalala. So we'll say, here's the difference. When an Amana marries a Kohen Gadol, she is also mischalalas, which means Rabbi say something happens to her as well. What does it mean something happens to her? She herself becomes pogum l'kahuna. I mean, Rabbi say that. What do I mean by that? Let's say now the Kohen Gadol dies. She cannot what? She cannot marry a Kohen Hedyot. Meaning that illegal marriage was nifkama, made her pogum as well. However, again, So you see that in the case of the Amana, it's not just something happens to the offspring, but something happens to her herself. Vod, furthermore, he to'eva. Ksiv ve'in baneha tovin. Furthermore, Rabosai, when the Torah speaks about remarrying your divorcee, so the Torah calls that a to'eva. Now the to'eva goes on who? Goes on the divorcee herself, but does not go on her children. So it's possible that what she does is an abomination, but who's to say that it impacts her kids? To which the Gemara says, "Ve'in banah to'avin to'avin vaot." Furthermore, vaotanya hamachsir grushaso. If one remarries his divorcee, vanose chalutzaso. One marries someone with whom he did chalitza, vanose krovas chalutzaso. Or a man marries the relative of his chalutza. Rabbi Akiva Omer Ein Lo Ba Kiddushin. Rabbi Akiva says in all of these cases there is no kiddushin. Now, when we say there's no kiddushin, I mean Rabbi Akiva, because remember Rabbi Akiva will hold that although these are issues where there is a lav, Rabbi Akiva holds that kiddushin will not even take hold in these marriages. Veinatzricha Gemena Get. Therefore, if you technically married one of these women, you don't need to give her a get because at the end of the day, the marriage itself really never took hold. Vehi Psula. And she is pasul. The woman herself will be pasul lakuna. Uvlada pasul. And the offspring is pasul as well. Now, according to Rabbi Kiva, when we say pasul, pasul just means much more than pasul. It means what? It means a mamzer. The kofin osi lahotzi. And we will force him to divorce her. I will say, even though, again, divorce in this context does not mean a get. Why doesn't it mean a get? Because according to Rabbi Kiva, there was no halachic marriage. If there's no halachic marriage, no halachic, but what it means is, we will force him to stop living with her. The Chachamim say, Yesh lo bakidushin. Rabbosai, again, interesting, the Chachamim say that as much as this is an illegal marriage, Rabbosai, remember again, the Chachamim hold, Kidushin tofsin bechai ve'lavin, which means marriage takes effect in marriages that are only, quote unquote, prohibited by a lav. So marriage will take effect. Utzricha himena get, and you require a get, you have to give her a get. V'hikshira, and she is still kosher. Uvlada kosher, and her children are kosher. Liman. Rabbosai, when we say that she is kshera, Rabbosai, now the truth is all you're just seeing over there is the fundamental dispute between Rabbi Akiva and the Chachamim by marriages that are prohibited by a lav. According to Rabbi Akiva, such marriages never even take effect. Because they never take effect, although we're going to force you to dissolve it, there's no get. And furthermore, again, ultimately it will result in mamzerim. According to the Chachamim, kiddushin is tovsim mechayve lav. No, kiddushin takes effect, even though it's a legal marriage. Illegal marriage takes effect when it's only prohibited by a lav. So you have to divorce her, but you have to give her a get. And furthermore, again, the Chachamim is saying that she is kasher and the offspring is kasher. So the Gemara says, Laman, when we say they're kasher, kasher for who? Lav lekuhuna. Are we not talking about that they are permitted to go out and marry Kohanim? Meaning, Rabbi say that who's permitted to marry Kohanim? That she, well, the truth is, she wouldn't really be able to marry Kohanim anyway because she's already a Grusha. But Lamais, again, her offspring can marry Kohanim. To which the Gemara says, no, it's not for Kohanim. Lo lekal, it's not for the General Assembly, that she can marry into the General Assembly of the Jewish people. So the Gemara says, I don't understand what that means. Ihachi hikshir. So you're telling me then when the Brisa says that she is kosher, meaning the woman herself, Laman, who is she kosher to? Ilei malakal. If you want to say that it's for the kahal, if you want to say that it's for the General Assembly, subshita, that's obvious. Mishum dezanyo. If so, lakal. Both said because a woman commits nus, because a woman engages in a legal marriage, suddenly again she's not permitted to marry into the Assembly of the Jewish people. That'd be a bit extreme. Ela lav lekuhuna. Rather, it must mean that she herself is permitted to marry into the kuhuna. I'll say that there are certain cases of chayvi lavin where she can marry into the kuhuna. Umidahahi lekuhuna. Vladainami lekuhuna. And the fact that she can marry into the kuhuna, of course her offspring can as well. To which the Gemara says, well, 1 second. Midi irya. Hakidisa. Vahakidisa. I'll say, I don't understand. First of all, the Gemara is suggesting over here is that when the Braisa said that she is mutera, she is permitted, and her offspring is permitted, who says that those two phrases have to mean the same things by the mother and the child? Maybe permitted means certain things by the mother and means something else by the offspring. Hachanai Mistar, but this would appear to be clear why. Diktani Reisha, because the first part of the Braisa said, he psula, vlada pasul. She is psula, and the offspring is pasul as well. He psula man, what does it mean when it says that she is psula? Ilei melekal, if you want to say to the General Assembly of the Jewish people, that can't be mishum dezanya efsal lekal, because she committed zinush, she's going to be prohibited to the Jewish people. El alav lekuhuna. Rather, it must mean when we say that she is pasul, it means that we'll say, let's say alav machzir gushaso. Case machzir gushaso, who is she going to be psula to? To say that she's psula to Klal Yisrael, that's a bit extreme. That can't be true. Bless you. But rather, psula must be what? Psula must be to the kuhuna. Vlada pasul aman. When we say that her offspring, her child is pasul, who is that for? Ilema lekuhuna. If you want to say it's for the kuhuna, halakal kasher, but she is permitted for everybody else. Ham Rabbi Akiva havlad mamzer. But Rabbi Akiva is the one who said that what? The child is a mamzer. El pshita lekal. But rather it must be that according to Rabbi Akiva, that child mamish is asr to who? If he's a mamzer, then he's asr to everyone. Umidereisha kidisa kidisa seifanami ha kidisa vaha kidisa. Rabbi says, therefore, what do we see from here? That when we say that she is pasul and the child is pasul, it means psul in two different ways. Because according to Rabbi Akiva, when he says that she is pasul, I mean she came married to the kuhuna, but her child is mamish pasul lekahal, he's a mamzer. So too in the safe in the end case as well, the mother and the child need not enjoy the same status. They have two different statuses, and therefore again, vehi to'eva. I'm sorry, when the pasuk said that she, the machzer gushasa rabosai, the woman who remarries her first ex-husband after being married to a second man, she is the abomination. So to rabosai, only she is the to'eva, but her co-wife would not be the to'eva. Ava baneha tovin. But her children would share the same to'eva status as their mother. Ella almana kasha, But we're still stuck with the case of Ammona. What do you do in that case? That is still a kasha. To which the Gemara says, Mala Ammona, Shekin hi atzma mischalelas. But I will say, again, Ammona is different, because Ammona, we see that Lamaisa, what? She herself becomes mischaleles through this entire process. Ella, let's just finish this up. Ella, I itmar haki itmar. Rather, if you're going to say anything, here's what you have to say. Amar Rav Yosef, Arum Shem Berebi. Rav Yosef, Rav Shem Berebi. Hakom odim beba chayve kriso shavlad pogum. Everyone agrees that if you go ahead and you have relations with a woman who is a chiyuv kares to you, that the child is pogum. Man hakom odim, who is everyone? Rabbi Yeshua. It's Rabbi Yeshua. The Afka of Dam Rabbi Yeshua in Mamzer Mechayvi Krisus. Even Rabbi Yosef, now there's a third shita. There's a shita of Rabbi Yeshua. And Rabbi Yeshua holds that what? That you don't produce Mamzerim from Chayvi Krisus. Rabbi Yosef, now we have three shitos. Rabbi Akiva says you produce Mamzerim from Chayvi Lavin. Rabbi Shimon HaTimni says you only produce Mamzerim from Chayvi Krisus and Misos Bezdin. And Rabbi Yeshua now says that what? That you don't produce Mamzerim from Chayvi Krisus. We'll discuss his shita. Even Rabbi Shimon holds that you don't produce Mamzerim from Chayvi Krisus. Nihi de Mamzer lo havi. Pagum mia havi. Even though the child won't be a mam, the child will still be what? Will still be a pagum. Mikav v'chomri amana. Where do you learn that from? That's kav v'chomri from amana. Uma amana the kohen gadol sheni sura shabakol pagum. But I will say, if we see an amana whose prohibition is not the same by everyone, meaning an amana is only a sura to a kohen gadol, and yet what? The child that she produces the kohen gadol is pagum l'kuhuna. Zu, she sura bakol, this woman who's an iser kares, whose iser is the same for everyone, meaning every man is prohibited to her. I will say, for example, let's say your sister. Everyone's sister is prohibited to them in the same way. That's the case of iser kares. Eino din shebna pagum. Of course, her child will be pagum. V'chitema, maybe you'll say, mala amana shekin hi atzma mischaleles. But an amana herself becomes mischaleles through relations with the kohen gadol. Hachenami kevan shebayla asa zona. Rabbi say, we will see that lamaisa. Again, it's true. Anytime a man prohibits someone, or I should say, marries someone who's prohibited to him, he also has a negative impact on the woman. How so, Rabbi say? Because she becomes a zona. Rabbi say, the definition of a zona legabe kuhuna is any woman who has relations with a man whom she cannot marry. That's the halachic definition of a zona. Once that occurs, lemaisa. So we see that any act of prohibited relations, by definition, negatively impacts someone. So Rabosai, we'll stop over here, but what comes out, lemaisa, is the following. We have a three-way machlokes about the nature of forbidden relationships. Rabbi Akiva, the most severe. Rabbi Akiva holds that lemaisa, any prohibited relationship, even just a lav, produces mamzerim. That's Rabbi Kiva, one end of the spectrum. On the other end of the spectrum, who do you have? You have now a new shita we just saw, Rabbi Yeshua, and Rabbi Yeshua holds that lamaisa, even isuri kares, do not produce mamzerim. But even Rabbi Shimon will agree that what? That it is isur kares, and obviously what? We don't know the svara for that shita yet, we'll have to see that tomorrow. That even Rabbi Yeshua holds that it does produce isur kares, will agree that what? That it produces an isur pogum, we'll call it, that makes the child pogum. And in the middle you have Rabbi Shimon HaTimni. And Rabbi Shimon HaTimni holds that lemaisa, again, what? Isurei lav will not produce mamzerim, but Isurei kares and misos bezdin will produce mamzerim. We'll stop over and pick up here tomorrow. Mirat Hashem.